Am I good?
Go ahead. Sorry, I don't know why that didn't work.
Okay, good. Here we go, rocking and rolling. Thank you, guys. Another episode of Life is a Gamble. Calling number is 888-329-3306. Today is 1/20/24. Most folks see this as Martin Luther King Day. I don't know... I don't know why everybody's working on this day. I don't see them work on Labor Day. I don't see them work on President's Day. I don't see them work on Columbus Day. But somehow they've convinced people to go out and work on this day. And some people might be getting time and a half. It might even be overtime. But then that defeats the purpose of having this day off, you know, as a national holiday. You fought so hard for it, only so people can go to work. Doesn't make any sense. I'm kind of glad you had a lot of snow, so people had to cancel all these Martin Luther King Day events and affairs and stuff like that. That only benefits the nonprofits. That's all it does. You know, since I've been on air, I've always had this little attitude. Like, I'm angry. Like, every Monday I come in here angry because I don't feel as though African Americans are doing them. I don't think they're doing what it takes for them to advance. I think they're listening to these buffoons on these other stations. And let me just ask you this question here. If you an African American and you walk into a place where there's an African American, there's an Asian, there is a Hispanic, and there is an Italian person, are you recognized as an African American when you walk in there? Or is one of those other four people that I had
recognized as an African American? No, none of them are. You were the only one recognized as an African American. So if that is the case, then what are we doing? Why do you feel the need to say, I'm black? Make that make sense. Why can't you just be the best at what it is you do? The problem that you have to self-identify is because you're probably not the best at what it is you do. And so here's the camouflage. The camouflage that you want to be anything else, you want to be associated with everything else because you're not performing at the highest level that you need to perform. Now, I guess some people could debate me on that. I guess some people could say, well, I'm black. And I'm a die black. Jesus Christ. Why can't you tell me you're black and you're going to be the best at whatever it is you do? Period. You keep looking for people to give you some kind of recognition for just, are you kidding me? No one put water hoses on you. No one put dogs on you. No one showed you signs and supported those signs where it says colored bathroom and white bathroom. But yet still in the 21st century, you need to identify as a black person or black man. If somebody got discriminatory views, they've always had them. If they take it out on
you, then you need to handle that. You need to handle that. I'm a part of a fraternity and one of the first cardinal principles is manhood. You need to handle that. You can't have your lady fight your fight for you. You need to handle that. And make it worthwhile and then support your children so no one get to treat your kid any differently than they would treat you. I seen an incident where Shaquille O'Neal's daughter, 17 years old, had a business class ticket and the folks were displeased that she would have a business class ticket at 17 and it cost a couple bucks and she was like, well, how do you got it? And one of the managers was going to void out her ticket and she called her dad and her dad came up there. And what he did what most dads would do. He stepped in as a dad. Not as no black dad. Not as no Shaquille O'Neal dad. Although his name is Shaquille O'Neal and although he is her father, he stepped in as dad so she could get on her way. And so she and he reinvigorated her confidence. So they were trying to separate her from her confidence, make her feel that she didn't belong, make her feel that she stole the ticket, make her feel extremely uncomfortable. And he prevented them from doing that. And this is all I'm asking. You guys aren't putting the pressure on these people, on these other stations. You guys are just accepting. And we have to get past that acceptance there. I'm going to take a one-minute break, and I'm going to come back.
Diabetes is on the rise, putting healthy vision at risk. Diabetes-related eye disease is the leading cause of blindness in adults 20 to 74. It's appearing earlier with greater frequency in younger people. Try to prevent vision loss from diabetes by getting dilated eye exams, regular health checkups to monitor blood glucose levels, and follow a diabetes treatment program as prescribed. Learn more at preventblindness.org/diabetes. A public service message from Prevent Blindness, United Healthcare Vision, and this station.
A tree can be a warrior, battling global challenges with greater courage. A tree can be a solution, cleaning our air, supporting our communities, and protecting our wildlife. A tree can be noble, growing hope in every corner of the world. That's why now is the time for trees. Millions of trees. Join our planting movement at arborday.org.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting
when the deal is done. Okay, you guys, now I'm not in the studio by myself. Nikki is here, and I'm going to tell you guys, Nikki was here before me. Now, I don't know what that is. When I'm trying to pass a baton, it's always good for the person to be in front of me so I can hand off, because y'all already know I'm about to transition to that morning show. You know, that morning show is already sponsored. People, they and I came up with sponsorship. Nikki, say hello to the audience.
Good afternoon. How you guys doing today?
All right. Stay talking into the mic now. Stay talking into the mic so they can hear you.
I got you.
All right, cool. So, and also, I'm expecting a phone call from Ms. Stevenson, you guys. You know, she was on here when the during the election and stuff like that. She told you who she supported and why she supported. She's heavy into the Garfield Project, like we all are, supporting Dr. Daryl Scott on his Garfield Project. And so she's going to call in and share with you guys. We did a fantastic book for her. I co-authored a book in her honor. You know, she's dealing with cancer and stuff like that, and it was well written. And they really enjoyed it, and I think she took it all the way to Kenya and did a nice YouTube thing or Facebook thing with it. So just to let you guys know. Now, I know we had some airspace a few minutes ago. Where you guys couldn't really hear me, so that but it happens from time to time. Technical difficulties is what they call it. So once again, I'm going to just try to reiterate what I was talking about in reference to you guys standing up for something, in reference to you guys fighting for something, in reference to you guys stop. You need to stop listening to people who are only trying to make a buck off you. Really, you do. You keep listening down the aisle, down the dial, and people are trying to make a buck off you. Black people have treated African American people like commodities, no different than how other folks used to treat them. And they only benefit off you being ignorant and stupid and not asking no questions. And then when you ask questions in a certain kind of way, then they find a way to cut you off, or they became gatekeepers of certain people. So there's two books that I would suggest you get, and they're on Amazon right now. The first one is Philly Roulette, Pastor Wilder and the Sixers Story, The Gamble That Failed, Make It Make Sense. You can get that right now. You can go online, pull it up. It's called Philly Roulette, Pastor Wilder and the Sixers Story, The Gamble That Failed, make it make sense. I told you guys way before when this pastor right here even got his face on it. You know what I mean? You said, why are you, how are you going to put his face on there? Because once he became a public figure, his face became public. I told him to come call me up and see me about that. Once he became a public figure, his face became public. You didn't ask why they put his face in the newspaper. You see it all in the newspaper. So don't ask me why it's on a book. It is. Get the book. Read the book. Learn about him. Learn how he wasn't the first pick for the church he at now, like a third string. Like he wanted to do music opposed to preach. You know, I'm not against him. I just don't think that he should be at a $1.6 billion deal. Somebody say, well, he got the largest church, 5,000 members. Last time I checked, that's a nonprofit. I could run a nonprofit with 5,000 members. I could do that. He get paid to do that. Somehow he get paid. He takes care of himself very well with that church right there. We're talking about a stadium. We're talking about a business. We're talking about a Donald Trump kind of deal. Shouldn't be at the table. How are you going to tell me he at the table and you only, African Americans as a whole, only getting $2 million out of a $1.6 billion deal? You cowards. You don't want to fight for anything. You want everybody to line up and support your initiative, and then you want to be pro-black about anything. You don't want to tell me no credentials. What makes you in line? What makes you head of the game? And then when you tell me about being black, your credentials is I went to Harvard, I went to Yale, I went to Penn. I got the best European education, but I know nothing about how to transition somebody from poverty to promise. There's another book you got to get. It's called Funding Problems. If I make it a problem, fund it. That's why you got summer school. If I got money for summer school, then some of your kids going to fail so they can go to summer school. If I charge you $1,000 for overcrowding prison, but I get $40,000 per inmates, your prison's going to stay overcrowded. And we can go on and go on and go on. You never want to get to the root of anything because they so busy telling you about a doctor in Ohio coming on a show talking about a segment, or some doctor in Michigan coming on a show talking about a segment. We don't go outside of Philadelphia. We stay right here. We deal with the problems that are here. But those two books, Funding Problems and Philly Roulette, Pastor Wilder and The Sixer Story, are some really great books. They're like hot off the press. And they no more than about 13 chapters. I know you don't like to read. Get it on Kindle. You know, let it read to you. You know, but this information you need to know. This is information that is really good information. Funding problems, tell you about the economic problems in the city right here, how you keep asking the question, how can they build? You know, why are they building all these prisons, or why are they building in this neighborhood, or why are they doing these things right here? So I just gave you the information. And you need to know about the people that they put at the table to represent you. This is awful. This is crazy, you know. And I don't have nothing against Pastor Wilder. Matter of fact, I'm going to ride bikes. He got the, you know, he prayed for all the bikes during the summertime. So I show up with my bike. He showed up with his bike. It's just interesting how all these pro-black pastors got Harley Davidsons and stuff like that. So I don't know. So we might need to get a African-American bike owner. Well, I know you got to have an American bike when you join bike clubs and stuff like that. We recommend that. But most of them got Harleys. Why didn't they do the research to find one of us who make bikes so we can all support that bike? But then, look, Nikki, I don't want to go off on no tangent here, you know. I mean, you here, we're trying to transition my show to your show and stuff like that. I'm waiting for Mrs. Stevenson to call in. I want Ms. Mary to call in. I know she was out there trying to call in. So we're going to still have Ms. Mary co-host. Is that all right, Nikki, when she calls in?
Yes, that's great.
All right, that's cool. So, Nikki, you got some great news for me with the Frankfurt Chargers. So let's hear about that. Are you on?
Yes.
That's all right. They're going to call in later on, right? They're not going to call in? I thought we was going to talk to some of the superstars, some of the young superstars.
I have to get them for next week instead. They're a little busy for today.
All right, okay.
Yeah, they're a little busy today. Sorry.
No, that's good. Tell me, what was the score? You just know they won, right? The husband just said, you know what? We won, babe. You know, everything's all good. Nobody's crying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they made it to the national championships in Florida. The score,
what age group?
8U.
They're 8 years of age?
Yes.
Wow.
Yep. Coach Juice from the Frankfurt Chargers.
Okay. Yes. All right, Coach. Got the 8 years old.
They are
rock and roll.
D1 national championship.
Wow. I didn't see that in the paper.
No, but they did have like a parade after they won and came back to Philly.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Did the Department of Rec support you guys in that initiative?
Yes, and the police department as well.
Yeah, I like the person who runs the Department of Rec. She's been great. I remember when I was at Cheney University, I needed to do an internship. And I did my internship at the Carousel House. And I was the basketball coach. And at the Carousel House, so whatever I do it 1,000%. So when I became the basketball coach, and this is the Carousel House was for folks who had spinal bifida, multiple sclerosis, and mental health. And so you could get a grown man who is a grown man, but he might be functioning on a lower level. So he could be like 23, but function on a 6th, 7th grade kind of level, mm-hmm. you know. And so you had to deal with them. And so I had, I want to say 16 young men, 16 men between that age group of 18 and 40. And when I came there, they was using the flaps to do the score. And we had a scoreboard. No one hooked it up. So I had them hook the scoreboard up. And then I wore a suit like Pat Riley, right? And I had gone from having 6 parents come to close to 40 parents come to watch their kids on game day. We won 5 games with less than a minute left on the clock. They've never seen someone call timeout. They'd rather just let these guys run up and down the court and play haphazardly. So why would you pay for a referee? Make the referee do his job.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so it was an awesome experience. Matter of fact, when I was done, they blessed me with a windbreaker with my name, Coach Prince, on it and stuff like that. Now, and that was powerful. But I think I see Miss Mary on the line. So can we bring Miss Mary in? Miss Mary, how are you?
How you doing, Miss Mary?
Yes, good afternoon, Prince. And I forgot the young lady's
Nikki?
Name.
Nikki.
Oh, Nikki. How you doing?
Now, Miss Mary, now, look, I need to come right at you because you realize that this young kid with all this potential getting shot at one of these schools that we just built maybe a year or two ago is ridiculous.
Yes, you're right. And everything is a secret
right.
regarding what nonprofit was in charge of that school. You know, we're so busy hiding things in the city of Philadelphia, and you're right, not getting to the root problem. Now, they indicated that this young man had this all this potential. You know, he was on his way to school. I think it was Fells High School in the Northeast, and. We've heard several show hosts stating that they were in several schools. I know Man Up PHL is, at one time they said they were in 7 schools, but I heard this morning that they were in 5. So I don't know what happened. But my thing is, they were supposed to replace the NTAs, the non-teaching assistants, who were in the schools all day long with the children to get an idea as to what was going on with the child if they didn't want to talk it over with the counselor, their parents, or sometimes they would stop.
But Miss Mary, this seems to be an assassination. This doesn't seem to be an argument, a disagreement. It didn't happen at school. It happened when he was in the car. In Becca's house, Nikki, or what?
Yeah, when him and his mom were getting into the vehicle to take him to school, and he was
shot, yeah. killed, right?
Right, you're right. And he was shot in the leg, they said, about not a year ago, where he was recovering from that, where a 60-year-old man was killed at the bus stop. They were waiting at the bus stop. So at that point, we're looking at this young man was a target. He was the target for them to assassinate him in the back of his home. And someone should have known or knew what was going on with this young man.
Was there any cameras around?
There was cameras around because they have a description of the SUV, a white SUV that they found, but nothing else. You hear nothing else. But my thing is, I mean, we're paying these anti-violent groups millions of dollars, you know, to maybe do some correction with these children. I'm reading in the Sunday paper, Lock Up, Left Behind, where they people get with DHS to put children in the detention center from the age of 10 to 17 years old, $347,000 a year.
Well, wait, Ms. Mary. Hold up. Because your cousin Biden just pardoned the two judges that the state of Pennsylvania locked up for funneling kids to the
right.
I mean, they made $2.8 million, and that one woman was livid. And notice how I talk about a parent. I don't say one white parent, you know, although she might have been Caucasian. She was livid as a parent because her son hung himself based on being placed incarcerated wrongfully at his age. I'm talking, what were they, age 6 to 8 years old? Kids for cash.
And those judges did it to medicate.
The same judges
children.
You was talking about, the same judges you was saying was pay-to-play judges, these same judges are now walking. Now, you don't, when a president pardon you, he clean your record. You know that, right?
Yes, I know. And I was shocked to even hear that because people like that need to be incarcerated for life. Because this young man took his life. He was locking up children. They said for stealing food out of a supermarket or something.
Ms.
You know,
Mary,
simple things like this.
I have a question for you, Ms. Mary. Do you think our mayor, Cheryl Parker, will be attending this young man's funeral, like the multiple funerals in the city that she attended for the police department?
I haven't seen them attend as city council members, so I doubt very seriously that she'll be at the funeral. You know, maybe that somebody should be representing the young man. I mean... Even the anti-violent groups that we pay money for them to find out what's going on with these children.
Well, you see,
you know,
he
it's
died.
No way
he
in
died.
The world that we have no idea.
He died on her watch in her city. And so I don't know what city council person is up there, but I know they keep giving these citations and resolutions to these 80, 90-year-old people, but yet they can't stop them from killing these 15, 16, 17-year-olds. You know, there's something to be said about that. And so I'm going to do some research when I leave here today, Ms. Mary, so I can tell you all of these groups that are getting the nonprofit money. I'll tell you the budget that's set aside for the nonprofit, and I'll tell you all the groups. So if it's 20 groups, 40 groups, 60 groups, by next Monday, Nikki and I are going to pull up how many groups there are, and we're going to deliver to you. And so now you need to do a background on these groups. It's just not good enough to tell me that the director of the program went to jail, came home from prison, and now he's trying to stop other kids from going to jail.
Yeah, absolutely.
I get that. But you got to understand something. While a man locked up in prison, he's not taking care of his kids. He's not taking them to the doctor's office. He's not doing homework with them. He's not going to get medicine when they got a cold and stuff like that. You know what I mean? So let's just be clear. Let's not just make it seem that, okay, now he's doing a good deed because he's re-entering into society. No, I get that. But somebody still got to take care of these children that he left. You know what I mean? Now, if the DA finds that he's finding out now that some of these folks was wrongfully convicted, well, then that's where you need to spend your money at. You need to spend your money getting these guys back home so they can spend time raising their children and stuff like that. That mom was in the car, might have been a single mom with her son, probably doing the best she can. And you got so many single moms out here who are suffering this tragedy of their kids being gunned down in Philadelphia.
Every day.
And no answer to it.
Yep.
Right.
Are you kidding to me? If I'm a detective and it's my job to find out who killed your son, I still got a life to live. I'm going to take my 4-week vacation. I'm going to do my overtime. I'm going to go ask people and stuff like that. But if it's 3 years later, the longer it is, the less chance of you finding out what happened, correct?
Correct.
Am I right, Ms. Mary?
You're right. And I look at it this way. When the 60-year-old man was shot at the and killed at the bus stop, and this young man was there and was shot in the leg, what happened to you trying to find out who killed the elderly guy? And who was the original target? Because they saying that the children were let out of school and someone just shot into the crowd. So you mean to tell me, and I think it's been over a year, almost a year, and we're still looking for the perpetrators. Cameras is all around in this city. Everybody have a camera attached to their home, their building. So you mean to tell me that you did not try? Maybe they could have prevented this young man from dying if they had really worked on finding out who killed the elderly man. Well, see, people look
what
at...
What happened to the children that killed the elderly man downtown? Those young kids that was out past curfew? Remember they hit the man in here with a crate or something? Foreign.
Don't have a clue because they don't give you any follow-up, nothing like that. If anything, I remember a lot of times I would go to the law library because I was working on my case to present to this. I went all the way up to the state Supreme Court and the U.S. Supreme Court. So I would actually read. They have like a legal documentation where you can pull up every case and read exactly the results or what happened in the city, the country, or what have you. We never get any feedback as to what happened. I'm just finding out what happened to the fireman that was killed, where they said that the guy that wasn't a U.S. citizen set the building on fire with an accomplice. You know, I forgot his name, but he was a documented fireman that was in the city of Philadelphia. We never get any results or what happened or what's going on in this city. It's almost like, let's just say the crime rate is down. I don't care what crime it is.
Do you realize that that's crazy to produce those numbers like that? It's funny how you can say what you want to say. You can dictate the numbers and stuff like that. I think Nikki just pulled up that information about those children who it was a cone that they hit the man over the head with and killed him. What happened to those children, Nikki?
It said a Philadelphia judge on Monday ruled that two young teens charged in a traffic cone beating death of the elderly man who later posted bail with the help of local organization would be held on all charges.
So they getting bail?
Yes.
So we got organizations and groups out here that's going to work with getting those kids bail after they took a cone. How many kids were there? Does it say?
It says two.
They
both 14 years old.
Both 14?
Yeah.
Because I know there was an 8-year-old out there with them, and it was one that was a little older, so like 4 or 5 of them, you know, and so. Miss Mary, come on, Miss Mary. My city is falling apart, and everybody's waiting for election day to go to the senior houses and senior buildings and tell them, let's vote Democrat, and let's get out there and vote like your life depend on it, where when there's not an election, everybody's collecting money and doing nothing to help the city right here, from the city commissioner office all the way to the city council, to the state reps. Now they're trying to find out who they're going to put in position and get people to come out to vote. Like, it's just not a Wilson Good, let me push everybody to come out to vote. This is, let's see if we can put somebody in the White Evans seat. And y'all don't really have to come and vote because the person we want in there, we want him to just fulfill the seat and stuff like that. And so you guys got to stop that. You guys got to stop letting them marginalize this city right here and stop letting them placate on not involving the residents of this city right here. They really don't want you to go vote. They want their people in office for forever.
Yes, you know, they do.
That's
You're
crazy.
Right.
It's just Vincent Hughes and Anthony Williams shouldn't be in office this long with and Dwight Evans, all of them 40, 60 years in office, and yet the hell that black folks are getting is still in the neighborhoods that they govern over, period. We're gonna take a minute break and come back with you, Miss Mary, and I want you and Nikki, because Nikki want to talk to you about football a little bit, Little League football. Is that okay, Miss Mary?
Well, I know nothing about football, but I'll listen.
All right, hold on.
Nothing about football. If you ask me about the racetrack, blackjack, or poker, I can tell you all about it. But nothing about football.
This is definitely life of gamble. But just hold on, Ms. Mary. We'll be right back to you. We're going to take a minute break.
Okay.
My name is Corporal Bradley Joseph Seitz.
Jerry Reed.
Kate Weber.
These are real veterans facing a real challenge.
I have PTSD.
And I have PTSD.
I have PTSD.
Post-traumatic stress disorder can happen to anyone.
I was still in a war zone in my mind.
But treatment can turn your life around.
Treatment has really saved my life.
To learn about PTSD and how treatment can help you, call your local VA medical center or visit ptsd.va.gov.
Whether you have been blind all your life, are just starting to lose vision, or have a blind child or family member, connecting with other blind and low vision people can help you live the life you want. The National Federation of the Blind is a membership organization of blind and low vision people, and you can connect with the chapter right in your own community. To learn more, visit us at blind.org. That's blind.org. The National Federation of the Blind. Live the life you want.
You got to know when to hold them. Know when to fold them.
All right, we good. Miss Mary, since you had that great confession, we're going to leave the football to next week. So now hold up, Miss Mary, because, you know, blackjack ain't an easy game to win at the casinos, Miss Mary. All the people I know, I only know one young lady, I think she won like $300, you know, but I think that was on the machine. She hit the machine. She put like, they got like penny machines, something like that. She sat there all day putting that pennies in the penny machine.
You know, you have to know what you're doing. No, I play the tables, you know. So with blackjack, the slot machines, no, nothing about that. But you, if what I did, everything I purchased a book on the horse racing, you know, blackjack and poker. And you have to learn the strategies. And that's with anything. You know, if you're interested in it as a hobby, buy a book that tells you the beginning and continue to pursue it if that's your interest.
Yeah, but don't you need to know about those horses, though? Because I had an uncle who had he had three thoroughbreds and one Tennessee Walker. And he was using them for breeding purposes and stuff like that. So I think they were already retired out of running. And so don't you got to really know about, although it seems good, but what, you put a dollar down, you could win $1,000 or you...
Yes, you can, $2, mm-hmm. You can, if you play a trifecta, a long shot, you can win up to maybe $4,000 or $5,000.
That's a good
you
day.
You know, and that's what I would always try to go for, the trifecta.
Now,
you
do
know,
they
those
tax?
Little horses.
Do they take taxes out?
Yeah, they take taxes out. They take taxes out of everything. Come on.
Because I know in the casinos, when you win, they used to make you pay taxes at the end of the year based on what you won. But then I found out that the casino could even extend you a line of credit. So you can't even go to the bank and get credit, but you can go to the casinos and gamble and get another $40,000 to play with.
And then plus you can write off your losses too, you know, because that's why people go, well, at least I did, go for like where you could go there and play just a little bit of money, you know, because
I don't know. It's because life too much a gamble for me to go somewhere and gamble for real. This life, every time I walk and turn the corner, is another issue or another situation and stuff like that. You know who I miss out of all the politicians, though? I miss Milton Streets. I think Milton Streets was the best street shooter. You know, with Milton would get things done for you, man. I miss Milton Streets. I miss him more. And then the next one for me would come behind that would be Dave Richardson. Because Dave used to do line dancing off Lincoln Drive when I was in Schuylkill Falls. So I didn't know Leon Sullivan. Oh, I did know Mr. Lou Blackwell, because I used to see him at all the fights and stuff like that. But Milton Street would be my number one. Dave Richardson, and then Lou Blackwell. Those are my three. Those are my three. You know, the ones that have passed away.
Yeah, may he rest in peace.
Yeah, the one that have passed away. Who were your three that may have passed? Politicians that you would give credit to, Miss Mary?
Well, I can only give credit to, like you said, Leon Sullivan, that really tried to accomplish something. I'm trying to think.
Because I know Dave was the reason to put, he put Shirley Kitchen in position.
Yeah, Dave Richardson,
yeah,
you're right.
Who else he put in? Leanna Williams? Or Leanna Washington? He put her in position. And he put somebody else in position. I want to say, I think she was in city council, right up in that Germantown area.
I'm looking at who can we ever say on a national level that really accomplished something? You know,
nobody.
This is why I'm against these groups that now wants us to go in conference to strategize. Unless you have the money in place to combat these laws that they have on the books, like they did with affirmative action and civil rights, you have to go into court to reestablish that or have the politicians in place to implement those laws and policies.
And you got so many people working against you when it comes to that. There's so many people working against you when it comes to that. You got Black Radio working against you because they stuck on the people that they want. You got Black politicians working against you. And so if you can run the streets and get 40,000 people to vote for you, or 50,000 people, you can become a city council. If you work harder and get 200,000 people to work for you, you can become mayor. Like, they've dumbed down the election process so much that they have scared people away from actually coming to vote. And they have geared themselves towards the seniors. You know, like they give the seniors everything but nothing. You know, so they make it appear like they're getting everything, but then they give them nothing at all. I know seniors who try to call offices and get things done, and they still can't get through, or they being spent. They put the spin on them, like, you know, we'll get back with you, and they don't get back with them and stuff like that. And so, you know,
oh, right, I believe that. You see it every day, and you hear about it. You know, because when I was working for the state, people would come in and say, I tried to get help from the city and was ignored. And this is why a lot of people are so frustrated with what's going on here in the city, because we know what's going on here. It's all where, as soon as you get in office, you forget about the constituents, the people that you're supposed to serve. You know, because a lot of times we're seeing it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're thinking that giving a person a book bag and some hot dogs and hamburgers maybe twice a year is all they have to do. No, you have to create policy in place that's going to benefit what you call the poorest big city in the country. This is ridiculous what we're
Ms.
seeing
Mary.
Here.
You know,
and it makes me angry when
Ms.
I see...
Mary.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you a question. What was your position when you were working for the state? And
before
you answer, I would like to go to break. And when we come back, would you answer for it?
Yes, I'll answer it.
Thank
I had
you,
so many positions.
Somewhere through the woods, while someone rushes through their day, there's a mountain looking up at the sky while someone looks down at their phone. A trail waiting to be walked while someone waits for a latte. This world is full of somewheres waiting for someone just like you. So go see yours at 154 National Forests and 20 Grasslands. And to learn more, visit nationalforests.org. The National Forest Foundation. See your somewhere.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run.
Okay, we are back from the break. Miss Mary, Dr. Prince is allowing me a little moment right here, so I wanted to talk to you for a little bit. Please let me know everything that you've done in the city.
Yeah, you know, I started out as a social worker for the state of Pennsylvania. I had to issue emergency benefits for everybody in the state of Pennsylvania with emergency medical, emergency shelter. Very stressful job. And I was told soon as I left to go into another position, because you had to take a test for every position with the state at the time. Now, and I think they just hand over the positions to people now. But it was very stressful because I would
not get incompetent people to positions, huh, Ms. Mary?
Exactly. It's always who you know. But, you know, I would not leave the office until I made sure that the person received benefits because at the time a physician, a surgeon would not operate on you in the city of or the state of Pennsylvania without you being on Medicaid. So that, and then they would call me from different hospitals. I need this person on right away. And sometimes they would give it to me like at 5 o'clock when I'm supposed to leave the office. I would not leave until that person was on, you know, and
man, that's dedication right there. I feel the same way. I, you know, if I got to take care of issue, I'm just not. When I was at family court, I wasn't leaving until I made sure that this case was closed out.
Exactly. Because people can die under that type of situation. I've even heard of workers that would leave the job and they didn't put the person on. You know, the surgeon delayed the operation. Isn't that crazy? So, you know, it's a life and death situation on some of these jobs that people
and
have.
The hospital is all about that dollar, Ms. Mary.
Seriously.
Ms. Mary, the hospital all about that dollar. They got things scheduled. You know, they not just the hospital, the dentists are too. You know, you miss an appointment, they charge you $100. On your next
well,
time
they're,
you come.
They're saying that it was based on their medical malpractice insurance, that they could be sued if a person did not have any medical insurance on board. And this is why we have, like, undocumented people. The only place that they can go to get medical treatment is with the emergency hospitals. And a worker have to put them on Medicaid.
But I thought we had caseworkers. I thought we had social work. They called them social workers, not caseworkers. They called them social workers who did casework to register folks who did not have the financial means in order to pay for the hospital visit, right?
Well, what happened there, the caseworker would do a hospital application after they're placed on the system, and that would pay off the medical bill that they have. I don't even know if the hospitals are even submitting hospital applications for people without the financial means. You know, if anything, they want to take the people's property instead. You know, and this is
I've
what's
seen that
going
happen.
On.
I've seen that. So the very poor can go in, and if you got a housing authority address or shelter address, well, I don't know about shelter address, but some transitional housing address, Then they would do the case management stuff, and they would fill out all the paperwork for you. But now, if you are a middle class and you're a working person, let's say you make more than $50,000, $60,000 a year, then what they would do is, depending on how long you stay, they will incorporate your home in this process right here. And you could actually lose your home based on your hospital stay.
But you know what? The state can also do a spend down on you, and they can request that where you can pay a little amount towards your monthly hospital bill, and then the state would pick up the rest. This is what they're not telling you, that the state can pay off on hospital bills, but yet they want to keep the money for themselves.
Politicians want the good health care. They want the good benefits. They want the car with the gas prices as high as they are. That's why they want to run for office. I mean, there's a couple buffoons that are in office right now that people think that it's okay for an Amon Brown or Malcolm Kenyatta or these idiots that's in office right now only benefit off of not working and getting a paycheck for being politicians. And that soon has to stop. Folks has to just, you have to have some commanders that has to go out into the community and galvanize people to run against these folks. And there's some females, I'm sure, too. You know, I don't think Joanne McClendon, because she's an attorney, I don't think she did all that she could do. Matter of fact, her and Sharice Streets lost the whole state. All the Republicans took the whole state. You wanted a black woman, you got one. You wanted the head of the Democratic Party, a African-American guy, you got one. And then you lose every seat from treasurer to AG to every seat except for the governor seat you lose, which makes the governor seat in jeopardy right now. And then if the African-American guy that's head of the Democratic Party don't communicate with the governor, they got issues. What makes you think that you're going to have a Democratic governor in the next race when it comes, if everybody is galvanized and you got a Republican president and you got U.S. Senate, because Bob Casey just lost. So, you know, and I'm saying this because the stupidity of these folks that you can't find unless they're giving out certain perks and stuff like that. You know, the ones that are mobilizing the, what's the guy name that's in office, don't have a high school diploma and was formerly on drugs and stuff like that. And because he's white, he was supported by African-Americans. We done supported an Asian in office, two of them. When you could have intelligent African-American HBCU occupied graduates, fraternity, sorority people in there, and you vote for all kind of races in office in a 42% majority of the city is African-American, and yet you can't even come together collectively to vote your own people in there.
Okay, and the second half of my career, I was a state investigator, which I was trained by the very best. You know, and I had a high security clearance, and I was in a specialized unit. We would go after everybody.
You ain't kick no doors in, did you, Miss Mary?
No. No,
we
were basically
no
going after you on the system, on the computer system, where everything is spelled out. You know, we didn't have to kick in any doors. And we would present the information to the State Attorney General, the U.S. Attorney General, and the Office of Inspector General. And I was in the specialized unit for that. So like I said, I really enjoyed that because we did not throw any punches there because we went after even churches.
Good.
You know, because I've investigated churches in the city of Philadelphia.
Make them pay taxes, Miss Mary.
Businesses, well, they need to pay taxes if you think about it. You know, businesses, politicians, we investigated. So, you know.
Let me get my last break out the way, Miss Mary. We're going to come back and we'll finish the next 4 minutes with you, all right?
Okay.
All right, I'm going to take a 1 minute break.
Eleanor steals your heart. She was diagnosed at 5 weeks old, a type of leukemia, and it's associated with Down syndrome. Being able to come to St. Jude was a blessing and the best place for her. Talking to the doctors and nurses, they were on top of it. they got this, we got this, it's gonna be okay, and we're gonna get through this. Here, it's like a celebration of life. There's so much great stuff happening. The doctors and nurses are her best friends, and you can tell that they love her, and you could tell she loves them, and that relationship is just amazing. We're just so grateful for them.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up.
Okay, Miss Mary, we had a caller call. Caller, if you out there, you can call back and talk to Miss Nikki and Miss Mary and Prince. Go ahead, Miss Mary, you can finish telling us about what you've done and who you are.
Yeah, and like I said, I enjoyed when I did investigations for the state. You know, we went after everybody, and now we're seeing that a lot of our local leaders just want to sit there and just have the title. You know, we've had several attorney generals in the state of Pennsylvania that did absolutely nothing. State Office of Inspector Generals that actually working with city council, doing absolutely nothing. I mean, I'm reading in the newspaper now where 7,000 children were physically abused and molested in DHS custody within the last 10 years.
7,000? 7,000? Did she say 7,000?
7,000 complaints they received that they could not validate or do anything about. This is ridiculous. Who are they hiring for these positions? Mm. This is what we need to look at. If you're not qualified, then they need to clean house. They need to get rid of them. I don't care if you're a state attorney general, if you're not doing your job. Because a lot of things where even Governor Josh Shapiro was our state attorney general with the Catholic priests. Who did he prosecute with that? That abused the children, molested the children. This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you know,
when you have people that in positions.
He wanted the position. He wanted to run, you know, sometimes.
Exactly.
You
want
to run for office,
you
don't upset the apple cart.
And want to continue to run for a higher position, you know? And then I'm looking at some of the investigative channels, which I love, News Network. They're asking for him to come on the show to verify how one of his friends was living with his girlfriend, and she was found stabbed in the back 10 times, and they said it was a suicide. You know,
isn't
this ridiculous?
They've been trying to get him on the show now. I'm trying to put my hand behind my back and give it 10 times. You know, I'm trying to really, I'm trying to pat myself on the back to find out how a knife can get back there. What you think, Nikki?
It's on the Banfield show. The lady comes on every evening. You know, on News Nation. She's been trying to get John Shapiro to come on her show for, I would say, for a year or two now. You know, come on. Stabbed in the back, and they said that her roommate was a friend of his. His whole family is a friend of his. And they still saying that she committed suicide.
When he went for president.
In the back.
When he went for president of the United States. Get to ask him that question. Miss Mary, it's been a pleasure, like always. Thank you for calling in with Life a Gamble. You know what I mean? We learned about the dog races, the horse races, and blackjack. So we'd like to thank you and thank everyone for this episode of Life is a Gamble, and we'll talk to you next week, Miss Mary.
All right. Thank you.
There's no exception to the rule. We are.